So how's everybody doing this morning? Y'all awake? So let me ask this. We'll start with a question. How many of y'all are blessed? I like it. I like to see everybody realize they're blessed, right? How many of y'all are blessed that you can be here this morning to be able to enjoy each other and worship, right? We're free to do that, correct? Nobody... Well, some of the kids may say differently, but nobody held a gun to you or anything saying that you got to be here or anything like that. You chose to come to worship this morning to be with your church family. I've always been in awe of the freedoms that we have. We get to experience them daily. We live in an amazing country. Yes, do we have our flaws? Do we have our issues? Absolutely. But we do live in a land of the free, home of the brave. And we also get to celebrate Memorial Day this weekend. I want you to give thoughts to these freedoms, the things that you have, that you can be able to be here, the sacrifice that was made to allow us to be able to come here freely, to make that choice. I want to give thanks to the men and women that sacrificed so much so that we may be able to enjoy the freedoms that we have today. We're here today to worship, and we're here to praise God freely. We can't say that we can't say that for all around the world, right? That there's many in this world that don't have that freedom. But we have the freedom to worship whenever we want. We have the freedom of speech to share our opinions about whatever is on our hearts. Does not mean we always agree with it, but we have the right to be able to do that, correct? The freedoms that we have today did not come without a price. There are generations of men and women who have served this country, shed their blood, gave up lives, shed tears to provide and protect the freedoms that we get to enjoy. Throughout history, we see men and women that have sacrificed so much. We have seen lives lost, and we've seen the sacrifices that were made. So thank you to the men and women that have sacrificed and are sacrificing so much time, to those in the past, and to those still today that are giving their time. Understand the cost, the sacrifice that was paid to be able to enjoy these freedoms. But something I want to remind you of here as we move forward is all our freedoms come with a price, right? But you realize that they're not permanent. We like to say we enjoy these things, but our freedoms we have are not permanent. There's always that risk of somebody to take that away. That's why we have the men and women in this country to serve and protect those freedoms, right? But something I want you to think about here, and we're going to dive into John 8, verses 31 through 38, is that we have these freedoms, but there's another freedom that was paid with a large cost, but a freedom that's eternal. And that is the freedom from the bondage of sin. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for this morning. I thank you, Lord, just for your word, the truth. Father God, I thank you for the freedoms that we can enjoy. But Father God, more importantly than any of it, Father, I am thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the cost, the life of his life that he gave so that on the cross, so that we may be forgiven of our sins, that we are spiritually free if we put our faith in him. And Father, I just pray through your word today, Lord, that hearts will be open, that focus will be on you, that we are prepared to hear what you have to say. Father, I just thank you once again for your word, for we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, everybody's familiar with Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned Right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, when it says for all have sinned, means it's everybody. There's not a single person in this room, in this world, that's not a sinner. Let me ask you this. Every single one of you all obeyed your parents wholeheartedly, 100% when you were growing up, and even now. You all listened to everything they had to say. They told you everything correctly. Y'all did everything right, right? That's kind of the answer I expected. Understand that we are free physically, but without Christ, we're under the bondage. We're a slave to sin. We are born into sin. We can't get away from it. It's nature for us. You think about the things when you got to make a choice in your life. Who do you think about first? Majority of the time. First and foremost, what? Us, right? How does this affect me? But understand that it impacts all of us. And the reason why I say that, because we'll dive further when we get into Scripture into this, but you're going to hear people in this world say, well, I have not sinned in so many years. Well, you're already doing it. We've heard this many times. Well, I haven't sinned. Yeah, you have, because you're doing it now if you say that. You're lying. Ephesians 5:12 says this, says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin. We can thank Adam and Eve for that, right? For their sin, the punishment was what? It comes with us. It goes through our generations, from generation after generation after generation, till what? Till the Lord decides to come back. So let's go to John 8, verses 31 through 38. So open your Bibles up. I don't have slides for this, but open your Bibles up. I like opening my Bible. So let's read it here. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is that, you say? You will become free. Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Now, something I want to look at here as we go through this. If you notice, it says Jesus is talking to the Jews who had believed him. Now, if you notice earlier in the chapter, starting in verse 3 of chapter 8, you have the scribes and the Pharisees that had approached Jesus at that point in time, and that particular with the adulterous woman. Yes, was there a crowd? Yes, there was always a crowd around Jesus when he spoke, for the most part. But you had the scribes and the Pharisees. So these Jews, in this particular context of Scripture, the Jews that's really talking about here is those scribes and those Pharisees. Did they believe in God? Yes. But their belief, you'll see here in a minute, their belief was not true faith, because they were blinded to see the truth, which was standing right in front of them. So when we look at this, I want to say, how are we sometimes with our life? When we talk about I'm a Christian, when I say I'm a believer, do we truly mean I'm a believer? And what a follower of Christ really is. So let's look at verse 31 here real quick. It says, so if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Something I want you to think about here. Do these Pharisees and scribes sound like the world today? Do they sound like a lot of people out there that we hear, maybe even in here, that say, I believe, but yet really, truly never have had a personal relationship with Christ? So we're going to focus here on the first point. Point number one, abide. Why did Jesus say abide? What does that mean? So the word abide in this particular scripture means much more than just saying, I believe. The word abide here is referring to pursuing Christ, to be obedient to his word, to dwell in his word, and to be an example of him to others. This is what makes a person a disciple. To say, just to say, I believe, does not make you a disciple. There's a lot of things I can say I believe. I can believe these walls are green, but somebody else may say, well, they're kind of a bluish green. When you say I believe, you got to understand what that the context of what we're saying here. The Pharisees believed in God, right? But they didn't believe in the truth. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, he's talking about Jesus, he says, he warned them, the believers, that continuance in the word, discipleship, was proof of true salvation. When we obey his word, we grow in spiritual knowledge. And as we grow in spiritual knowledge, we grow in freedom from sin. Life leads to learning, and learning leads to liberty. So our pursuit in Christ and his word should never end. It constantly should be going. You can read from Genesis to the end of Revelation. You can read it from cover to cover. God is still, Jesus' word is alive, it is active, and we're always able to learn from his word. I can't tell you how many times I've actually read through scripture. I've never read it started in Genesis to go through Revelations. I've never went cover to cover, but I've read all of the Bible. But it's always amazing to me that every time I read it, God opens my eyes to something else that he's saying, to his truth. It's alive, it's active, it works in us, and being able to understand it. So when we abide in Christ, it means that we are continuing, we are pursuing the Lord, we are staying in his word, we're staying in prayer, we're looking to grow, to seek his will, and to grow in our relationship, become a stronger believer or follower of Christ, to be obedient to him. And what was interesting in verse, as we move on in verse 32, is he says, you will know truth and the truth will set you free. The more you spend in God's word, the more he's going to reveal the truth to you. I want you to understand something. This is truth. God's word is truth. What everything is in this book is God's word, his inerrant word. It is truth. Anything you listen to that speaks differently than what this does is not. The joy we have with freedom is we can read this. But there's many other things in this world that are making our attention go elsewhere. That it's something else. This is truth over here. No, I'm sorry. This is truth. This is God's word. It's his creation. He created it. He implemented it. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows everything about us. Everything he says in here is truth. We may not have to like it, but it doesn't change the fact of what it is. It's truth. And we're seeing this today in this world. We're seeing this today in this world. It says, as you follow and abide in Christ, you will learn the truth, who he is, and by having a personal relationship with him through faith, the truth will set you free. It will set you free from sin. That is the only way, is through Christ. And by coming to know him, building a relationship with him, putting your faith in him, you are saved. You are freed from that bondage of sin. So here it leads to my second point. Don't be fooled. Think about that. Don't be fooled. Let's look at the Pharisees here real quick. Let's go to verse 33. So it says, they answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Have they been fooled? Yes. Number one, even physically, they have been fooled. They don't even get it on that part. It is a fact. How many times let's think about this. How many times have the Israelites been enslaved since Abraham? Several times, right? Multiple times. The Assyrians, Babylonians. Oh, wait a minute. Even at the time when they were speaking this to Jesus and they were challenging him and questioning him, whose rule were they under? Rome. So even physically, they could not see their sin. How prideful can you be? The religious leaders here, they focus on their lineage, which for them was very important. From the seed of Abraham, is a sign of knowing God, because the promises that God made to Abraham is a sign of them of freedom, that they know God and they're free. They have not been enslaved to anything just because they come from that line. But they're missing a very big point. Their denial of being enslaved, which is not correct, shows right there how fake their belief is. Not only did they not recognize their physical bond, their physical bondage of slavery, they have missed the, also through this, they have missed the point of their spiritual bondage of sin, of slave, being enslaved to sin. Now, does this sound familiar? Can we for a second make a comparison here to the world today? Absolutely we can. Not just in the world, worldly things, but even in the church we can. Remember, even as a church, we're still vulnerable to these things. Just because you go to church doesn't make you free from sin, right? You know, today in this world, we're dealing with kids. Think about your kids. This has been a crazy week for me and many other families. My daughter graduated from high school. Some other things also happened that was awesome. Now I got to prepare for. But the thing is, but also what we think about is the future of our kids, what they're going to walk into. For many of them are going to go to the university and colleges. For others are going to work and go into a trade or just go into the workforce. What are the things that they're going to be learning and picking up from the world? It's not all biblical. Let me put it this way. Majority is not biblical. All these things that we're seeing, we're taking kids that may have even grown up into church, families, grow ups, same way for us, growing up in church, but yet we're seeing so many more people walk away from the church, walk away from their faith for the fact they're taking the worldly views as truth rather than the biblical and God's word. The world is hard. It's meant to be hard. It is a sinful place, but this shows the importance of us as a church body, as believers, that we got to be seeking Christ, pursuing him through his word, so that we may be teaching it to our kids, so they have a firm foundation for when they go out into this world. They're not seeking the world's point of view. When the world throws something at them, they're going back to what God has to say about it. This is truth. But also at the same time, church, how can we be fooled? How blinded are we? How many times can we, as churches, I'm not talking about just here, I'm talking about everywhere, the church everywhere, how many times can we get blinded by our own pride in the things that we seek, in the things that we want to see for the ministries here, and the things, just things. And a lot of times it takes us, those things takes us away from doing what God's called us to do, to go out and make disciples. Are we stepping up to that challenge to follow truth? Or are we too worried about other things that are taking us away from it? It's amazing to hear when I go through churches that split over what color the walls are going to be painted. It's amazing to hear the arguments, and we're not innocent. I'm not going to lie. I'm not either. I have things I like. But it's amazing to hear how we allow so many worldly small things blind us from what God has called us to do in the first place, and that is to share the truth of His Word, first and foremost, priority uno number one, to build disciples and to equip. So understand, our own blindness, our own pridefulness, this is not just out there. It does happen in the church, and that's why even as a church, we got to come together. We got to be praying together. We need to be in God's Word consistently, and consistently in prayer, so that we can seek Christ, so we can look for His protection over these things and over our families. First and foremost, it starts at home. Parents, are you teaching your kids how to pray to the Lord, how to fear God, how to spend time in His Word? Don't be fooled. The world's going to tell you a lot of things, but always make sure you go back to the truth. Always make sure you go back to the truth. Because the world doesn't free you, right? One of the things why I said don't be fooled is some of the things, discussions, it just reminded me of some of the discussions I've had in the past. It says, you know, there's so many in this world that do not have an accurate understanding of who Christ is. Or even having a personal relationship with Him. Just to kind of give you an example here, throughout the years, 24 years of student and family ministry, I've had several discussions. Discussions like, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? You know what the answers I get for a lot, majority of the time? I go to church. That's a bad understanding of who Christ is. But they truly believe that. Other discussions that I've had, I mean, am I going to go to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. Where is that in the Bible? Being a good person doesn't make you any closer to heaven than being a bad person. Why? Because you're still, if you don't have that relationship with Christ, you're still a slave to sin. You're not free. But at the same time, we're told clearly in Isaiah, our good deeds are what? Like dirty laundry to God. Think about that. But there's a lot of people in this world that believe that because they're a good person, they're going to be in heaven one day. This is why pursuing Christ, abiding in Him, pursuing Him in His Word is so important. That they understand truth and not what the world tells them. Just because you want to be happy doesn't mean you will be, right? God's Word doesn't promise happiness. It promises joy by putting your faith in Christ. But guess what? That joy comes when we're with Him. What does Jesus tell us in Scripture? That if we put our faith in Him, we're going to be persecuted just as He was in this world. Man, that sounds like just a joyful time, right? But guess what? If you put your faith in Christ and you read in His Word and you pursue Him in your Word, you're going to see that it's not about what's here. It's about following, being obedient to Him, following Him. Don't be fooled on what the world is telling you. And for many of us are in this world, many of us are falling into that trap. Satan's doing a fantastic job of being really quiet and coming in and messing with the minds of so many people. But that's why we got to stand firm in truth. We got to abide in his word. That's why he said it. Look at these Pharisees. They value their lineage, and they have no idea their lineage has nothing to do with following Jesus, with following the truth. Have they been fooled? Absolutely. Absolutely they have. But this also leads me to the last point, point number three. Check your heart. I'm talking about me in this as well. Verse 34 says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." And something I want you to listen up. Truly, truly, Jesus is saying, here, listen, I'm about to speak some truth into your life. You really got to be able to listen here. Truly, truly, he's getting there, trying to get their attention, and he's sitting there telling them that this is truth, but yet they still don't see it. They're still challenging him on what he's saying. And he's saying, all of man, as I said before, is born into sin. There is not a single person on this earth that has not sinned. Whether a believer or not, you can say you believe in what you believe, that you believe there's a higher power, that you believe there is Jesus, that you believe that there is God. If you are not trying to abide in his word, you do not repent of your sin, and not trying to be an example of Christ to others, you are a slave to sin. That's guaranteed. Check your heart. All of us can do that. For every one of us as individuals, there are times we all need to go back and look at ourselves, right? And do a heart check. Not meaning if it's beating or not. I mean, if you're breathing, it should be beating. I hope so. But sometimes this is also a hard pill to swallow. But all of us should have a heart check. If you call yourself a believer, are you living in obedience to Christ? Do you truly understand what saying I believe means? Are you pursuing Christ daily in his word? Are you spending time with Christ daily in prayer? Scary part is, through research, through Barna has done, there's less and less people that are spending time in prayer, and less people in this country that are spending time in God's word. Are you being obedient to his commands in your personal life, in your home? Are you striving to be an example of him to others? Are you showing his love to other people? It's not about you, it's about God, it's about Christ. Are you being an example of him to others? So we all need to have that heart check. We got to sit down and look at ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Do I spend the time that God deserves in his truth? Verse 35 and 36, it says, "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever." What Jesus is referring to here is inheritance. If you're a slave, do you get to inherit anything from your master? No. There is no guarantee of anything for you. But who gets the inheritance from his master? The son and the daughters. Only those that have a personal relationship with Christ, that abide in his word, will remain in the house of the Lord. They will be the ones to inherit freedom from sin and salvation. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says this. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Man. Amen. Verse 37 and 30, it says, I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my words find no place in you. I speak of that I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. Jesus very quickly points out here to the Jews that he understands, yes, I understand where you come from. Biologically. Understand that, biologically. But they are not children of Abraham. Because of their actions wanting to kill Jesus, which is way off of what we're supposed to, right? We're just way off. Killing people is a no-no. Wait a minute, lying's a no-no. Any of y'all ever lied before? See, I already got you. There you go. Yeah, we all sin, right? We all sin. They're sinning. They don't understand it. Because of their actions also shows that they don't see the truth. And the fun part is that the truth was standing right there in front of them. Oh, let's put it this way. Let's bring it back to this. Every one of us has a truth, right? That's right in front of us. In every home in this country is God's word. Every home. If you go, I guarantee you, there have been very few people that says, I don't have a Bible in my house. On average in this country, I think I've said this before, but on average in this country, the average home has two Bibles in its home. You know what the key is? How much dust is on it? Do you spend time in it? Christ is pointing out the spiritual condition of their heart. He ain't worried about biologically where they come from, where they think they come from, or what's the line. He is talking about the spiritual condition of their heart. They're so focused on the world that they missed the point of what Jesus was talking about, period. They missed the point that truth was standing right there in front of them. They missed the point that they were slaves to sin and always will be unless they put their faith in Christ. Let me ask this. Have you put your faith in Christ? Do you call yourself a believer, but you truly believe truth? Or do you call yourself a believer because it makes you comfortable thinking that, I believe in Jesus, but I can go live the life I want to, how I want to, when I want to, and do what I want? It doesn't work that way. It never has. What Christ is telling them here is that y'all can do what you want to, say what you want to. I'm the truth. This is truth. And until you believe in the truth and put your faith in the truth, you're going to have bondage to sin no matter what. And that is still true today. That has never changed. So the things I want to think about here. Do you abide in Christ? Can you honestly look at yourself and say, you know, I am doing my best to pursue Christ, to spend time in His Word, to spend time with Him in prayer, and to pursue His will for my life? I can tell you one thing right now, none of us do it enough. I can read my Bible every day, and I'm still not doing it enough. I can spend time with God in prayer every day, but I'm still not doing it enough. Are you striving to seek Christ in your life? Are you striving to seek truth? Because if you're not, you're not free. We may say we're free with the physical freedoms that we have, and I am thankful for those things. I truly, truly am. But spiritually, you are not free. Do you put your faith really in Christ in your life? Check your heart. Abide in Him. Abide. Pursue Him. Pursue Him with all your being. Don't be fooled. Where do you seek truth? Do you seek it from His Word, or do you seek it from the world? If you believe more what the world is telling you, and you're not spending time in this, that's what's influencing you. That goes for adults, that goes for teenagers, and that goes for the kiddos. Parents, I don't know how to say this besides saying it like this. We got to start doing our job like we're called to do, to build disciples in our home. It starts in the home. If we are not spending time with God, how can we expect our kids to do that? If they don't see us in prayer, if they don't see us spending time in Scripture, spending time with God, how can we expect our kids to do that? Be the example of Christ that God's called us to be if you call yourself a believer and you put your faith in Him. Take the time with your kids. Grandparents, it goes for you too. Job's not done just because they're out of the house. You're called to do the same. When your grandkids are with you, be an example of Christ to them. Teach them how to abide in Christ. Teach them how to check their hearts. Teach them to not be fooled by what the world is telling them. Take responsibility. You call yourself a believer, you put your faith in Christ, take responsibility to be an example of Christ to others. What amazes me, and like I said, I'm talking about myself. There's always room to improve. But how many people that do not have a relationship with Christ that think they do? You know, if there's somebody in here that doesn't have that relationship, Christ died on the cross for you. He gave His life for all mankind so that we can be forgiven of our sins through faith. Wait a minute. He also, 3 days later, rose from the grave, defeated death so that we may have salvation and spend eternity with Him. And that is an opportunity for all of us. But you just got to put your faith in Him. For those that believe, that have put their faith in Christ, how are you challenging yourself to grow in your relationship with Him? How are you pushing yourself and your kids and your family around you to grow in their relationship with Christ if they know Him? Challenge them. I can always do a better job of it, believe me. All of us can. Pursue Christ. Teach your kids how to pursue Christ through His words. When challenges come from the world and there's questions that have been given to them and it makes them think, teach them to seek God's word first to find truth. Not go ask their friends. Get that a lot. Well, my friend said this. Well, last time I checked, the friends aren't Jesus walking on this earth. Jesus, right here, God's word. This is truth. So if you want to be free from sin, the answer is right here. It's right in front of us. Spend time with Him. Build a relationship with Him. Put your faith in Him, and you will be freed from the bondage of sin. That is the only way. Reminds me, as I was thinking of this, what did Jesus say? He is what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Altar's open. Church, we need to be down here praying for our families. We need to be praying for this country. We need to be praying for this world. We need to be praying as a church how we can be better stewards with God's word, how we can go out into this world with God's word, speaking truth. We need to be praying for the boldness to speak God's word. Think about how God changed, how Jesus changed the world. 3.5 years, 12 men, he changed the world because they were not scared to share the good news of Jesus Christ. They were bold about it. It started there. We need to be on our knees down here praying for our kids that they're seeking truth in God's word and not from friends or from the world. We need to be praying for our kids that they seek boldness even in the schools to be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ in the schools. But also when you're up here praying for the opportunities that we have that are coming up. VBS. We're going to have all kinds of kiddos running around this place. The perfect opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, because that's what they're going to be hearing. We need to be down here praying for VBS. And then we need to be praying as a church and how we can get out into this community to share the good news of Christ. So I'm closing this out in prayer. Come forward. Be in prayer. We all need to be down here praying. The altar's open. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you. I thank you once again. Thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for direction. Father, I thank you for truth. Father, I pray, Lord, for us today, Lord, that we're not like Pharisees of that day. It feels like so many times that we go out into the world that many of us, there's many Pharisees in this world. And Father, I pray for them. I pray, God, that for us as Christians, as followers of you that say we put our faith in you, Father God, you give us the boldness to go out into this world to share your love, to share your word, to be able to speak to these people, to help them to see what they're missing. And Father, that only through you can we be free from sin. Father, I pray, Lord, that you just be with us this day and every day. Father, that we open our Bibles at home, that we spend time at home in prayer, that we spend time together in prayer and in Bible study, Father God, that we are seeking you and pursuing you in every aspect of our lives, Father. And Father, through that we are pursuing you for truth, Father God. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that you put a burden on our hearts for the lost. Father, I pray, Lord, that you help us to equip others to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, that we go out here and boldly share just life through Christ and what that does for us. It frees us from sin if we put our faith in him. Father, I pray, God, that you just change the hearts of those that are here, Lord, those that put their faith in you, that believe in you, Father God, that you just make that relationship stronger and closer to you, that you give them an urgency in their life, Lord, to seek you in everything they do. But Father God, I also pray for those that may not be in here that may not have a personal relationship. They may have been sitting in a pew all their lives, Father God. But Father God, they've never really given their life to you. They never put their faith, they never put their trust in you. Father God, I pray, Lord, that this day is today, that they don't wait any longer. Father, I just ask that you be with us this day, for we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.